So let us come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our God, we ask for that spirit of which the choir sung, to illuminate your word, to illuminate our hearts, make them receptive to what you would say to us today, that we might in the depths of our soul receive your word. And so come, Holy Spirit, with power and deep conviction, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have slides for you today to help guide our reflections and digging into God's Word, so you may wish to have the Pew Bible open at page 1026 or to get out your phone. Yes, you do have permission to get it out today. Just resist the temptations to look at all those notifications that come up. So turn with us to Luke chapter 1 at verse 46. Song is such a powerful medium. It's one of the reasons why song has probably always existed within human experience. And that's part of because through song we can speak about all the different kinds of experiences we have as human beings. And so it engages with all the different emotions that we feel as well as people. And yet maybe because of that, because of the range of experiences that we can each have, as we read Mary's song, maybe we find it jars. Maybe you've heard a song, it might have just come new on the radio, or someone's introduced it to you, or a new song in church. And for the first wee while, it jars, it just doesn't seem to work for you, and you have to listen to it a number of times. You have to ponder those words and get your head around the tune before you really connect with it. And maybe that's what we need with Mary's song today. Because maybe in your life, in your faith journey, maybe you are struggling. Maybe the last year has been really difficult. Maybe faith is low. And so as Mary starts a song and she's glorifying and rejoicing, maybe you just feel, I can't connect with that. I'm not in that place. Well, I'd encourage you, rather than just what the temptation is normally to skip, switch off, move on, kill the volume completely, rather than do any of those, I encourage you just to try and remain open, to hear what God might say to you today through Mary's song. She does begin it with those words in verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She does glorify. She does rejoice. Mary is singing her praise here before us. And she's moved to do so because she thinks of the past, present, and future action of God. If you do a quick skim through, I count probably at least 12 actions of God. So let's go through this. He's our Savior, 47. He's been mindful. He has done great things. He extends mercy. He has performed mighty deeds. He has scattered those who are proud. He has brought down rulers. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant. He has been mindful of his promises. At least 12 of these actions of God. And as she brings that to mind, she is moved to praise God. But in our song as well, she speaks of 6 attributes or sometimes 6 names of God too. Let's see them. Verse 46, she talks of God as the Lord. And that would have harked back to the Old Testament use of Lord, which is Yahweh, which we have in some of our more modern songs now. Yahweh is that I am who I am, the great I am, the God who has always existed. She praises him. He's our Savior. He is the mighty one, verse 49. His name is holy, and let's remember always that when we talk about God's name, we're also talking about his character. That's how the Hebrews understood someone's name. It related to their character. So his character is holy, is perfect. In this way, we're saying that God is completely other, different, set apart from any other gods or any other being. He's holy. He's the Holy One. He's also merciful. We talk about that a number of times. He has mercy on those who fear him. He has mercy to his servant Israel. He's the merciful one. And he has remembered. He has been mindful. He's the faithful one, faithful to his promises. And so again, through the action, Mary's reminded of his character, of his name, of his person, of his attributes. And this all combines to raise up the song of praise in Mary. And she sings that praise with boldness and with fire in her heart. But amidst it all, it's very personal too. Because she says, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, verse 48. God has been mindful of her. And God has remembered his people, she sings later on. And it's this, that the great God, the great I am, who has all this action, past, present, and future, is so different from her because he's holy and powerful. And yet he remembers, he's mindful of her. This teenage girl from a backwater place, God is mindful of her. I think in the culture of our day, as much as in their day, we probably think God's really just mindful of the successful people, the confident people, the people up front or the people in power, the people who are wealthy and successful. But Mary comes to know otherwise. And so she's moved with this humble amazement alongside her praise to marvel at God that he would be mindful of her. Despite her imperfections, Mary's not perfect. She knows she needs a savior. She knows her people are not perfect. And yet God has been mindful of the promises to them. And maybe we connect with Mary's song at the outset here on different levels. Some of us are maybe in a good place with God. And we're full of praise with all that we've seen him do in our lives this past year. Maybe we've grown in faith. Maybe we've done so far this past year. I'll keep plugging that, by the way. Or maybe we're in a hard place. I don't get to see all of you. I don't get to talk with you every week. And you well know by now that I don't get around everybody in a year. It's just impossible for me to do with the demands and nature of ministry nowadays. Please don't take it personally. It's not because I don't care. I do. And because of that, every fortnight, we have, as part of our Monday team meeting with myself, Judith, Jean, and Ian, we talk about every pastoral need that we are aware of. And that takes a fairly long time. But that's the only way that I can try to keep abreast of things. But as we do that, I hear some of your stories. I hear some of what the year has been like, and the struggles, and the waiting. I know some of you have had a really hard year, and it doesn't feel like it's getting any easier. And so maybe for you, maybe you need to hear that other bit that Mary knew, that God is mindful of you as much as of Mary. Whatever your circumstances, God is mindful of you. He has his eye on you. He sees you. Such is his love for you. As we gather around this table this morning, we remember God's love. And in remembering that, we become more aware that he is mindful of us. So mindful of us, of you individually, that he went all the way to the cross to die for you, to die to be in that relationship with you, this relationship that Mary knew, and which brought praise to her lips that day. As we think about this dynamic of praise and of relationship and of mindfulness, I do have to go on to talk about the youth worker appeal today before we think of other themes in our passage. Because as Keith was sharing, and we estimate that only 5% of young people in the Upper Braes area have any relationship with any church. And that could be through Boys Brigade, Girls Brigade, youth clubs, Sunday school. Only 5%. There are thousands of young people in our area who know nothing of God. It's estimated that across the nation, only 30% of young people affiliate with any religion. So 70% say, I have no affiliation to any religion. And that compares with 37% of adults. 37% of adults say they have no religion, but 70% of young people say they have no religion. They know nothing of God, really. And the little bits they hear along the way could be very garbled and mixed up and easily forgotten. And that's why we've been very clear that the first outcome that we have for our youth work project is that we want to help young people move from searching around spirituality and faith, which they do. They're exposed to so much through social media, but we want to help them come to that owned faith in Jesus. Whether it's young people in our church family or young people outside our church family, we want to help them reach that point of owned faith in Jesus, a confident faith in Jesus. And partly that's why it's so difficult to get outside funding, because we're very overt about the faith dynamic that we have for this project. And so we need you to give if we are to enable us to increase our capacity and really engage with the hundreds of young people that know nothing of God. And yet He is wanting to be in relationship. He is mindful of them. And we need to share that with them, and that invitation with them, that they too might then sing the praises of God alongside us and alongside Mary. So Mary does sing this song of praise, but as she's singing it, there is another theme. Because when we go back to verse 46, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord." But in some other translations and in some of the older translations, it's "my soul magnifies the Lord." Now, that feels like a very old word, and it's probably in part the reason why the translators in this version have moved on and used glorify. But we miss something out by that. Because magnify has so many implications and helpful implications in our understanding of faith in the spiritual journey. If we think about a microscope or a telescope, when we magnify something, it gets bigger. And so something that is so small becomes much bigger to us as we look through it. Or something that's so far away and distant and small again, yet it seems bigger as we bring it closer to us through the telescope. But the things that could become bigger to us as we magnify them are things we also end up trusting. And so we look through that microscope and we might not understand what's before us, but we trust it's there. We trust what we see. Or as we bring that star or that constellation or that planet closer to us and we appreciate it anew, again, we might not explain it, but we trust what we see. Similarly, we can magnify so many other things in life. We can magnify our jobs, our success, our positions. And so our trust gets tied up with that. We can magnify our bank balance, and we trust our material resources in that way. We can magnify our health or a way of doing church, our traditions and particular style of worship. We can magnify our reputation and the accolades we receive from others. And so that's what we end up trusting. The things we magnify, the things that become bigger to us, become the things we trust. And for Mary, she magnifies the Lord. And in singing this, she expresses her trust. She sings her trust to the Lord. And she does that not just in the song, but earlier on as well. If you were to go back into the earlier bit of Luke, where we know that very familiar passage where the angel Gabriel comes to her, her response is, "I am the Lord's servant." This is verse 38. "May your word to me be fulfilled." It's a response of trust. I will trust the Lord. I am His servant. I'm open to what He proposes. Come, may His word to me be fulfilled. I trust that this will happen. I don't know how. I can't explain it. But I trust. She sings of her trust. That is her natural part of her heart. As she sees the action and the attributes of God, her response is to sing of her trust. But singing of trust despite the consequences and despite her circumstances. Because let's remember, as we often think about with Mary's story, here's a teenage girl engaged to be married, and she's going to be pregnant before she's married to Joseph. And she's going to start showing she's pregnant after her return from being with Elizabeth. So she's pregnant outside of marriage. Is Joseph really the father? Question marks over here. Massive consequences to saying yes to God, to trusting God. And yet she still says, "May his word to me be fulfilled." But also, her circumstances don't change. We often think, well, if I respond in faith and respond in trust, then maybe like that ticks enough of God's boxes that the good life will come, that the life of faith will lead to blessing. Well, not for Mary. She's still poor. She's still part of an oppressed people. But her response is of trust, even if things don't change right away. And so, friends, what are the things that we magnify that we end up trusting in? Is it the Lord? Or is it our success, our comfort? Is it our popularity? Is it our abilities? Is it family? None of these are bad. But when they are our principal point of trust, the things we magnify before the Lord, then we end up trusting the wrong things. And so when circumstances are hard, then maybe we're more ready to give up on the Lord. More ready to succumb to not just doubts, but to give up on the Lord and question him. And again, as we come around the communion table today and share in the Lord's Supper, we have that opportunity to allow this meal to magnify the Lord, to magnify, make bigger his love, his invitation, his commitment to you. And so renew your trust in the Lord. Keith shared earlier about the difficulties young people find themselves in today. That if you look at the statistics, it is concerning, to say the least, where the mental health of young people is today. That there's so much anxiety, depression, and self-harm. That it's probably worse than it's ever been. Maybe that shouldn't surprise us when in society we don't nurture a faith. We don't nurture belief in God. And so when you've got to put your trust in something, it ends up being in our abilities. And our success and my ability to make success happen, or my wealth, or so many other things. But none of those things are as solid, as foundational as the Lord. And this is part of the reason why we want to invest in a youth worker to increase our capacity, that we might engage with young people and help them through faith have greater resilience in their day to all their challenges, to all that would come against them. There's another piece of research done a number of years ago by the YMCA, probably around about 2010. And they surveyed a whole lot of young people, and they found that there were a number of things that helped them have resilience, because there are other things that help us have resilience too, and we need those. But for those that had faith, they said faith was part of it. Faith can help us have that resilience. We know that from research. We know that from the young people that share with us. And so we want to invest in that, build that up through expanding and deepening what we do with young people. And so again, I appeal to you to give, that we might make this possible in our day and in our place. So Mary sings her praise, and she sings her trust. But in verses 51 to 55, we have a difficult portion of the passage where it, again, could jar with us. Because she sings of God doing mighty deeds, and we might say, well, that makes sense. We can look back to what God has done in the Old Testament and even in Jesus on the cross. Sure, we sign up to that. But he scattered those who are proud and brought down rulers and lifted up the humble and filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Like, really, Mary? Has your trust in God, is your faith blind? Because look around you, Mary. Look at all the people where the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Look at all the brokenness and hardship in our world. Mary, you're not singing the reality of your day or ours. So how can we ever say amen to this? Well, Mary is not naive. Mary is not blind to the realities. She knew them very personally. But what Mary is doing here, maybe under God's help by the Spirit, is to sing of what God will do as if it's already here. To sing of it as if it's as good as done. And so she is singing the future into today. She's singing the future into today. It's thought that Mary might be drawing on as many as 12 different Old Testament passages. This young woman knew the scriptures. She knew the stories of what God had done and what God had promised to do. And so she sings this song. She weaves this song together that communicates this, communicates what God has done and what he will do. And she's so sure of it that she sings it as if it's already here. As good as done. Because she takes God at his word. And so she sings 30 weeks, some 30 weeks before Bethlehem, she sings of the God who is with us, Emmanuel. And some 30 years before her son will grow up to become that man who will begin a ministry that will change the world, she sings of the one who will bring freedom. And her son will one day stand up in a synagogue and read these words of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. She sings of the future before it's even come about. She's so sure of God's promise and his word. And she sings of the one who will be her savior. 33 years before it even comes about. And she doesn't understand it when it happens at the time. It's beyond her appreciation, but she's sung of it. And she comes to learn of it and own it and marvel at it. When the time comes, she's amongst that faithful people who are praying for the kingdom of God to come in her day, in that upper room. And she's there on that first Pentecost. Mary sings the future into being. And then she sings that she is maybe very mindful of her part in it too. That she's got a part to play in God's purposes. And okay, a very special part. A part none of us will replicate quite the same. But she sings it. She sings of her part in God's purposes. And again, as we come around this communion table, not only do we remember the love that pursues us and is mindful of us. Not only do we remember that and trust God, as we remember that we grow in trust, but as we gather around this meal, we remember the call to go out, to receive grace, not just to forgive, but to empower us to play our part, that as God gets bigger, as we are refired up with his love, we are ready then to go out and share that love, to play our part in his purposes in our day. And it's part of that that drives the Youth Worker Committee, of why we come to make that appeal today. Because we know and are convinced of the love of God for us, for you, and for young people. And he calls us to go out and make it known, to be part of something bigger than ourselves, to not just look out for ourselves, but to look outwards. One of the other surveys said that 76 of young people want to be part of something that's bigger than themselves. 76% of young people want to be part of something that's bigger than themselves. And what is bigger than yourself than the kingdom of God? Than the kingdom of God breaking into the here and now, changing lives, changing the world. And we have a part to play in that. And so do they, if they but will hear of God and respond to God. Now we might say, well, that's a big ask, £10 a month. It is. And when we can't give £10 a month, then we don't give £10 a month. We give what we can, as Keith and the Apostle Paul encourages us to do. But some of us can and should. And some of us can give more. And if we are to follow in the footsteps of our Savior, who gave up the riches of heaven and the riches of that perfection in the Godhead and came into the manger and journeyed through our life and all the sorrow and hardship and pain and suffering, and then even experienced more than we will ever experience by dying on the cross, then surely the call is upon us to be sacrificial as well. It's £10 a month per person, by the way, not per family. Jill and I will have to decide where we will sacrifice. Is that £20 a month off the food budget, or the heating budget, or the holiday? Is it taking a little bit off the kids' allowance, or what we give them at Christmas or birthdays? We don't have a lot of money that we're shaking about and hiding away. It will cost us too. But we will do that because we are convinced of the love of God for us and for young people in this community. And we partner with this church family in doing that. And I hope you will too. I hope I don't have to come back and push and push and push in the new year to say, oh, by the way, we're only 10% near, 20% near. I pray that we step up to the plate, that we get involved in our time, that we might sing that future kingdom into the now as well amongst young people. Because don't we pray every week, thy kingdom come? Well, we have a part in bringing that kingdom to come for young people. But it may not happen if we don't step up. So will we play our part as Mary played her part? Will we sing that future into being? May we allow this song of hers at the start of Advent to raise up in us praise and trust and playing our part in seeing that future kingdom come in the here and now. I pray it may be so. Amen.